All right, what a week. As a speaker, I've had a couple of times like this where, like, I've written and rewritten my talk, and as I said in pre-talk, I had a general concept of where I was going on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday I threw it all out, and I have written and rewritten things several times. I actually probably have about four talks in here now, which I'm probably not going to give any of it, because what do you say? I mean, I'm of the opinion that we, like, first of all, Wayne, thank you for putting words and emotions to what many of us are sharing. Jen, for your gift of the arts and your choice of the banjo as a counterpoint. Yes. I'm of the opinion we need laughter, we need joy and vibrancy in life now more than ever. You can feel your emotions through joyful music sometimes. Sometimes you need to put on the protest songs, which I've been listening to this week. The arts, poetry, play, as Beth shared with us, these are all wonderful ways that we need to lean into. The title of my talk is an idea that I want to flesh out to a certain degree, and I'm not sure how much of it we'll get to, because as I said, I don't think right now you need me to tell you anything about how to get through this. There's nothing I can tell you that you probably don't know or haven't practiced. Someone in pre-talk said, I have all the tools. I have therapists. I have meditation. I have all the things, and they've still have, you know, failed me this week. We know what to do. It's just tough. You don't go up to someone who just lost a loved one and start telling them about grief support groups. And we recognize that these emotions we feel come out in so many different ways for each of us. Sometimes it's grief. Sometimes it's anger. It's indignation. Someone mentioned contempt and disgust, which are feelings, emotions that have come to mind a few times. And it's not a good feeling when you feel that in regards to another human being. Like when you feel that to a person or to a group of people, that's not the answer, but it's also being honest about where we're at. My goal is not to try to tell you about where you need to be, how to get through this, because your path is going to be yours alone. What we strive for in times like this is a word that Wayne already used, equanimity. In the Pali, it's upekkha. It's one of the four Brahmaviharas. So if you, almost about a month ago now, 4 weeks ago, it seems like forever ago, that we did the talk where I shared about metta or loving kindness. Some of you were here for that. It's one of the four Brahmaviharas, these divine abidings that within the Hindu or Buddhist idea is Brahma has four faces, four ways of engaging with the world. And they are the four virtues that we aspire towards. Metta is one of them, but the culmination of all of the rest, metta, which is loving kindness, karuna, or kaduna, which is compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, but the culmination of all of those is upekkha. It is equanimity, which is a word in English that can be confusing for some. Somebody said, is that just like balance? And yes, sort of, but not really. There's a story about this martial artist sensei who developed the martial arts technique known as Aikido. Does anybody in here practice? Good. All right. Good. Joyce, do you really? In the past, that's impressive. Wow. Steer clear of Joyce. She can take you down. So within the martial arts, this Osensei, the founder of Aikido, is generally considered to be one of the greats. And one day in training, a student exclaimed, "Master, your techniques are perfect. You're never off balance. How can I achieve the balance? How do you maintain this state so flawlessly?" And Osensei smiled and he said, "To the contrary, I lose my center all the time. I just recover it so quickly that you don't even see it." That's a pretty good description of what it is to walk the path, the way. Okay? We're not going to achieve equanimity because the world feels off balance right now. And we can feel the emotional imbalance of the world. We can give voice to that through our grief. And we can find our center over and over and over and over. Upekkha, this etymology for this word comes from upa, which means near or upon, and ekkha, which means to look or observe. A better way of saying this is not just equanimity, and this is a mouthful, but equanimous observation, or the act of observing something without being affected by it. It is, now this is an emotion or a response that a general would have in wartime, where he or she could survey the battle and cannot, in the moment, get wrapped up in the individual skirmishes. It's the 30,000-foot view. It's zooming out further to the point where you can see the moment that you're in within the grander scope of history. It's recognizing that we continue to be the same people of peace, love, and justice, no matter who's in office, because we don't need the permission of a person in power to tell us how to be in this world. We carry that center with us through the dark times. In the Dhammapada, there's this passage that says, "Whoever is unopposing among those who oppose," I believe this is in the bulletin, I printed this one out, "whoever is unopposing among those who oppose, whoever is peaceful among the armed, not clinging among those who cling, him I call a Brahmin," or one who is centered in the divine. See, that's the task, isn't it? To continue to wade into the fire, to feel it burn and not be consumed. It's transcending our grief and feeling it at the same time. Upekkha, or equanimity, calls us to cultivate patience and trust and humility, inviting us to meet the world with a heart that remains open and yet unshaken. It's what Ram Dass calls keeping our hearts open in hell. To walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and to do so with a heart that's wide open. Can we do that? We don't have to do that right now. It's okay to feel the grief. earlier this week, right after the election, Beth messaged me about hosting a Zoom room. We threw that out, the invitation, and many of you jumped on throughout the afternoon. It's important now more than ever to have communities like this where we can just be our authentic selves with all of our emotions and our feelings with one another to heal in community and to move forward in community. We're talking about not becoming attached, but it's important to say or to point out that detachment does not mean indifference. So I think frequently within the Buddhist response to tragedy in the world, it is seen as a cop-out. Oh, it's nice if you can just be a monastic and just, you know, find this center that you have while the world is burning. But it's not as simple as that. It's not a blind indifference. It's not sticking our head in the sand. Equanimous observation means observing, seeing, watching, feeling all of the things, keeping our heart open at the same time. That's the work, isn't it? Because it is so tempting to close our hearts down right now. It is so tempting to retreat behind the safety of the walls that we put up when we feel so wounded and so hurt. But now more than ever, we need the support of each other. Because we grieve together, and we're going to heal together. Our work is to choose to be peaceful and to be peaceful with the world as it is. Rod said this morning, and I was smiling while he said this because this is the point. He said that it's so easy to have a vision for the world that we want it to be. And as idealists, we want to strive to see that world. And then when we don't see the work that we're striving for, oftentimes within our lifetime, we think that we've failed. We haven't. We still do the work. We still become people of peace, even in a world that is becoming more violent and more angry. We become a place of refuge for those who are marginalized. And we need those places now more than ever. The Bhagavad Gita says, and this is a paraphrase, to do the work, but don't be attached to the results. We don't do the work of living the good life, of practicing and cultivating well-being for some prize at the end. Many of you have come from the faith traditions where that was what we're striving for. The golden ticket, Wonka's golden ticket at the end. We're going to get picked and we're going to go somewhere else. But no, this is the world. This is the life as it is. And it's our call to live as people of love and peace. In spite of the world that we live in. Do what you do. Don't be attached to the fruits of your actions. Or as Dr. Kuyuma said, I think this was back in June when he was with us, the Calvin professor who was fired from Calvin University for performing a same-sex wedding. You can go back and find his talk online. It was a fantastic talk. He gave the quote that I'm sharing again in the bulletin this morning from James Baldwin because I'm finding a lot of hope in the perspectives of those who have fought in the trenches and oftentimes didn't see the full fruits of their labor. He said, love has never been a popular movement, and no one has ever wanted really to be free. The world is held together, really. It is held together by the love and the passion of just a few people. Otherwise, of course, you can despair. Walk down the street of any city of any afternoon and look around you. What you've got to remember is that what you're looking at is also you. Everyone that you're looking at is also you. You could be that person. You could be that monster. You could be that cop. And you have to decide in yourself not to be. I don't have any wisdom to offer for how to navigate times like these, but I look to the wisdom of those who have kept a hope in the midst of a storm that should have extinguished all hope. To be equanimous, to be open in the midst of the storm is the path forward. To not close down our hearts and to realize really that this movement that we're called to participate, that we're invited into, is not always going to be popular. Did we think that we were just going to then represent the majority of a country that was moving towards this love and utopia? Yes, I hope so. But maybe not now. Maybe not in our lifetime. Maybe like all of those before us in the centuries and millennia before, maybe we continue to embody love in a world that seems incredibly unlovable. Because that's the way forward. That's the work. My encouragement, I think, in the weeks, in the months ahead, Wayne mentioned the three jewels of Buddhism, finding refuge. And finding refuge in the Sangha, the community, is so key, so important. Thich Nhat Hanh said, shared this quote with me? Becky emailed me this quote this week. That seems very timely. Thich Nhat Hanh said that the next Buddha, the next awakening in our time may not be a person, but will probably be a Sangha, a community. Groups of people that find their awakening together. So this is the work. This is what we are called to, friends. Now more than ever, we get to embody what we want to see in the world. I've shared this quote as well from Ram Dass, but it bears repeating that the idea of being virtuous for the sake of virtue is not what it's about. To in and from a place of fear and anxiety try to change the world is like trying to be free from mud while washing ourselves off in a muddy river. It's easy right now to identify with the anxiety, the fear, the worry, the anger, the disgust, all of these feelings and all these emotions, and we have to feel all those. But we also can feel and embody the peace that we want to see in a world that's not peaceful. If you are in truth attempting to make this world a better world to live in, the most leverage you have is not on other people. It's on yourself. You make yourself a statement of love. You make yourself a statement of truth. You make yourself a statement of consciousness. That is what changes the nature of the predicament that the human race finds itself in now. If you're getting angry because the world isn't loving enough, the paradox is just laughable. What the world needs now, the world needs communities like ours. The world needs people like you. The world needs us to not lose hope, to not wall up within the safety of our impenetrable island where no feeling of pain can penetrate and also no love can break through. It's keeping our heart open while walking through hell. And yes, that means it's going to get hurt and wounded more. But we do that within the context of a Sangha, this community of ours that is made up of a motley crew of people from all forms and backgrounds. Some of you who may have in this past lifetime possibly even witnessed the rise and the fall of things that you thought within your lifetime were going to end the world. Remember the ozone hole in the 80s? I grew up as a kid of the 80s, and I remember that the tragedies that we go through, the dangers and the fears of where we live seem so large when we're walking through the middle of it. And yes, this is a big week, a big moment, it's a big amount of feelings for us to feel. But the world does keep spinning. Where I've found refuge this week has been in nature. Lisa and I have walked, I think this was it Wednesday that we did the, so Wednesday was kind of a cloudy, gloomy, rainy day, and I felt like the mood of nature matched our mood, and so we walked in the woods, in the rain. We took our dog with us who looked at us like, why do you put us through this? Hug a tree, listen to nature. Wednesday morning, my daughter in Colorado messaged us and, or FaceTimed us, and you know, there's the first gut check of like, what happened? As Wayne said, what the hell? And then her dog, Denver, who's this persnickety Bernie Doodle, was so anxious and so excited because they had just gotten dumped on with snow, their first good snow. And he was nuts to go running out. If you've ever seen a Bernese Mountain dog and how much they love the snow, it's like their favorite place in the world. There's some perspective that we gain from looking at the things in this world who don't realize that we just had an election. We're good. I'm gonna invite Jenna to come back up. I want to spend some time as we continue to process there. Like I said, the talk piece of this morning has felt the least adequate way for me to give voice to kind of all the feelings. You know, the pre-talk and the talk back, we're going to continue to give some safe, open space for sharing, non-judgmental sharing. We're going to continue to do that, maybe online in some other ways. We're feeling a lot as a community, and we can heal together as a community. We're going to proceed. We have some announcements there. I want to invite, Nelika, we're going to come back up and run through some announcements. We got some more music. I don't have a good conclusion this morning. I say that to you in all honesty that, like, I've had four talks and I didn't really cover any of them, and I don't know that I've really even said what I've wanted to say this morning. But what I can tell you is how much I appreciate people like you in a community like this at a time like this. We need each other. Hold on to each other. Thank you.